Chapter 32. Following the blue-white beams of their LEDs, they picked their way down the steps to the next landing. As above, they found a wooden door set into the wall, and beside it another Do Not Enter placard. Expecting the shriek of ancient hinges, Sam was surprised when the door swung noiselessly open. They stepped through. Another tunnel, this one barely 4 feet wide and 5 feet tall, forcing Sam and Remy to duck. Spaced at 4-foot intervals along each wall was a rectangular cell door, but unlike their counterparts on the upper level, these were equipped with what Sam and Remy assumed were the original vertically barred doors, each one standing open and tethered to an eyelet in the stone with a length of twine. Sam examined the nearest door under the glow of the LED and found the lock and latch were still present.
"Just when you thought it couldn't get any more depressing," Remy whispered.
Scanning the walls as they went, they started down the tunnel. After 60 or 70 feet, they found a 10-foot-deep side tunnel set into the left-hand wall. At the end was a waist-high rectangular opening. They knelt down, and Sam leaned into the opening. A few feet inside, a hatch was set into the floor. Sam shined his light into it.
"Another ladder," he whispered.
"It goes down about 6 feet. I think we've found the place."
"I'll go first," Remy said, then slipped feet first into the hatch and started down.
"Okay," she called. "The ladder seems sturdy." Sam climbed down and crouched beside her. This tunnel was narrower still, 3 feet wide and 4 feet tall. Stretching down the center line was hatch after hatch after hatch, each one a steel-barred black square that seemed to swallow their flashlight beams.
"God almighty," Sam whispered.
"How many do you think?" Remy asked.
"If this tunnel is as long as the ones above, 40 or 50.
Remy was silent for a long 10 seconds.
"I wonder how long it took for someone to go insane down here."
"Depends on the person, but after a day or two your mind would start feeding on itself. No sense of time, no points of reference, no outside stimulus. Come on, let's get this over with. What was the last line of the riddle?"
"From the third realm of the forgotten."
Careful of their footing, they walked down the wall to the third hatch. Under the beam of Remy's LED, Sam examined the grate. The hinges and latch had been removed, and the bars were scabrous with corrosion. He touched one. Flakes sloughed off and floated down into the oubliette. He gripped the bars, lifted the grate free, and set it aside. The oubliette lay at the bottom of a narrow 6-foot-long shaft, while the cell itself was 4 feet to a side and 3 feet deep, neither wide enough for a prisoner to lie fully prone, nor tall enough to stand without being bent at the waist.
"I better go," Remy said. "I'm smaller, and I couldn't pull you back up."
Sam frowned, but nodded.
"Okay."
From his waistband, he pulled the miniature crowbar. She took off her coat and laid it aside, then tucked the crowbar into her belt and let Sam lower her into the shaft, dropping the last couple feet on her own. On hands and knees, she clicked on her light, stuck it between her teeth, and began examining the stone walls and floor. After 2 minutes of crawling around, she suddenly murmured,
"There you are."
"Spittlebug?"
"Yep, in all its glory. It's carved into the corner of this block. There's a good-sized gap here. Hang on."
Remy worked the pry bar first into one gap, then the other, inching the block away from the wall. With a grunt, she pulled it free and shoved it aside, then dropped to her belly and shined the light into the hollow.
"It goes back a couple feet."
"Damn."
"What?"
Remy got to her knees and looked up the shaft at him.
"It's bedrock. There are no other openings, no gaps. There's nothing here, Sam."
Remy took another 2 minutes to make sure she hadn't missed anything, then pushed the block back into place. Sam reached down and lifted her up. She pursed her lips and puffed a strand of hair from her eyebrow.
"I was afraid of that.
Carl Mueller found 3 bottles here.
Something told me we weren't going to find the rest. Sam nodded. Whatever Laurent was up to, it doesn't seem likely he'd stash them all together. Well, it was worth a try. We know one thing for sure. Laurent did, in fact, use his cicada stamp. Come on. Time to leave the party and find a way out. They replaced the grate and walked down the tunnel away from the door, Remy pressed against one wall, Sam the other. 10 feet from the end, Sam suddenly stumbled backward into an alcove and landed on his butt with an oomph. Sam? Remy called. Looks like I found something. He looked around. Only 3 feet deep, the rear half of the alcove's floor was taken up by a hatch, this one unbarred. Remy walked around the oubliette between them and ducked into the alcove with Sam, who shined his light into the hatch, then dropped through, followed by Remy. Sam clicked on his LED for a moment. Running perpendicular to the tunnel above, a crawl space stretched into the darkness. On hands and knees, they started crawling, Remy in the lead and Sam bringing up the rear. Not wanting to miss any side branches, every few feet they reached out and touched each wall. After a full minute of crawling, Sam tapped Remy on the butt to call a halt, then clicked on the LED again. Ahead, the tunnel stretched on. "Did you notice the walls?" Remy whispered. "Yes." The crawl space's walls were not constructed of stone block, but had rather been carved from the bedrock. Crawling as they were in a dark and cramped space, inches of travel felt like many feet. After 30 more seconds of moving, Remy stopped. "Wall," she whispered. "Branch to the right." They made the turn, then crawled another 20 feet to another turn, this one to the left. After another short straightaway and another 2 right and left turns, they found themselves at a ceiling hatch tall enough for Remy to stand in. She ducked back down and said, "There's a ledge, then a drop-off into some kind of room." "Can you make it?" "I think so." She boosted herself up and disappeared. 10 seconds later, she called, "Okay." Sam stood up, crawled over the ledge and dropped down beside Remy, who was already surveying the room, which measured 10 by 10 feet. Like the crawl space, the walls and floor and ceiling were bedrock. Mounted on 3 walls were what looked like wooden gun cases, each one divided into vertical slots meant for, they assumed, either muskets or swords. In the wall to their left was a truncated arch. "This must be original to the fort," Sam whispered. "Probably a last-ditch bolt hole and armory for defenders." "Which means there has to be another way out or in." "Unless it got closed up when the chateau was converted to a prison." "Don't even joke about that." "One way to find out." They ducked through the arch and into the tunnel beyond. It was a labyrinth. For the next hour, they picked their way along the tunnel, into dead ends, through horseshoe hallways, and up and down stairs until Sam finally called a halt. Ahead, the tunnel split yet again into 3 branches like spokes on a wagon wheel. "What is this place?" Remy panted. "I don't know that it has a name," Sam replied, "but I'm guessing it's still part of the last-ditch defense theory. Attackers come down here, get trapped, then are ambushed by the defenders." He licked his finger and held it up. "There's air movement." He turned in a circle, trying to localize it, then shook his head. "Can't tell where it's coming from." Remy wasn't listening. Eyes closed, she turned first this way, then that, her hands at her waist, fingers alternately left and right. "Retracing our steps," she finally whispered. "That way's the courtyard." She pointed down the left tunnel. "I think. If there's a hidden entrance, it's got to be there." "Good enough for me," Sam said. He took her hand, and they set off again. Time and again the tunnel branched off, and each time Remy would stop, repeat her slow motion, eyes closed, spin, then point. After another hour, their tunnel came to an abrupt dead end. Or near dead end. Leaning against the wall was a wooden ladder. Roughly hewn from what looked like red oak, the uprights and rungs were slightly crooked. They shined their lights upward. The ladder, well over 30 feet tall, ended at a wooden hatch.
"Smell that?" Remy said. "It's rain, Sam. We're close."
He nodded absently, eyes poring over the ladder.
"This is ancient,"
he murmured.
"It could be original. This could be hundreds of years old."
"That's wonderful, Sam, but right now all I care about is whether it'll take our weight."
He gave the ladder a twist, then put his weight on the bottom rung. It creaked, but held.
"Give me the pry bar, will you?"
He tucked it into his belt and climbed up to the hatch.
"It's locked," he called down.
He wriggled the pry bar under the edge and wrenched once, then again, then once more, and the latch popped open. Sam threw open the hatch. Fresh air rushed through the opening and down the ladder.
"We're in one of the turrets,"
Sam whispered down. He boosted himself up and out, then Remy followed. As her head cleared the opening, outside the door they heard the scuff of a shoe on stone. Sam helped Remy the rest of the way out, and together they crept to the door. Over the railing they could see a guard, the one from before, they assumed, strolling across the courtyard, flashlight panning left and right. The man turned around, shined his flashlight briefly over the walkways, then disappeared through the arch. They gave him 30 seconds to move off a safe distance, then trotted down the walkway, left down the steps, then through the courtyard and into the tunnel they'd first entered. Outside it was still raining, and the temperature had dropped 20 degrees. The cold washed over them. They looked around to get their bearings. They were back where they'd started. Ahead, across the plaza, lay the red-roofed outbuildings. His progress marked by his flashlight, the guard was 100 yards away and heading toward the reception area.
"Had enough prowling for one night?" Sam asked Remy.
"And then some," Remy replied.
"Besides, knowing you as I do, I'm sure there's plenty of skulking left in our future."
"Safe bet." Together, they stepped out into the rain.